I'm Kenny McCarthy, and he's Joey Shimotaro. Welcome to the Gloucestercast.
All right, this is Gloucestercast podcast episode number. I'm Kenny McCarthy of thecutbridge.com, and I'm with a very sick Joey Shimotaro.
Yep, this is Joey Shimotaro from Good Morning Gloucester, and it's great to be back. This is our sixth episode, and we have a lot to talk about.
You don't sound good at all.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I don't know. I think from talking to people around town, it just seems like everybody's got something or other. I got a bad head thing going on. It started out as chills, and now the chills are gone. It's just settled in. It's nasty.
Did the girls get it?
Yeah, everybody in the house is sick.
All
everybody.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Water, lots of water. My chiropractor says don't take any of those antihistamines. Don't take any of that stuff. Just drink lots of water and get lots of rest.
Yeah, that's good advice. You know what I find helps the throat is these, I get them at the Common Crow. We talk about the Common Crow every week, it seems.
Yeah.
But these lemon lozenges, and they have zinc in them. And they're $2.39 for, I think, a pack of like 20 of them. But I read something that they said that zinc seems to speed up the healing of a cold. So
you like a battery now?
What do you mean?
Dispose of you properly because you're full of zinc.
Oh, I got something.
Never mind. Sorry, you're not feeling good today. It's going to be a lag between the jokes today.
No. All right. Oh Lord.
So welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, we got stuff to talk about. Let's jump right in and we'll talk about the pot. I know you love statistics.
Yep.
So we're gonna talk about the podcast poll results. I put the poll on the blog of how many people actually listen to it.
Yeah.
And the latest results are that
that was a drum roll.
From Good Morning Gloucester readership, this poll was out there, and 47% of the people who check out Good Morning Gloucester and responded to this poll said that they have listened to the podcast, and 53% said they haven't.
And how many people was that?
I don't have the total. I just have the percentages.
Okay. Doesn't tell you.
No. I could dig, but I just grabbed that. Does that surprise you or not?
Half and half. No. Yeah. See, I don't have anything to compare it to. However, as we go along, it'll be now we have a benchmark up to. Say February, the end of February, when you stopped the poll or whenever you did it, we have a benchmark now that half the people that responded to the poll. See, we need to know that number, how many people responded to the poll. Mm-hmm. And then we know that half of the people that responded, basically half listen and half don't. Mm-hmm. So we have a benchmark. And if we want to bump the readership, the listenership, we can ask some other questions. Get better at it, whatever. I've got friends that tell us that they're listening, and they say we're getting better and better every time. So maybe as we get
a lot of people that just don't have the time.
I agree, 100%. And a lot of people too don't have the technical civility. Is that a word? Like savvy?
I don't know.
Civility. Somebody look that up and tell us. I've been listening to my iPod a lot the last, say, 2 months since you and I started to do this. I've been walking around. I've turned into one of those people that has the earbuds in, and I've been playing with different kinds of earbuds and trying to figure out which ones I like. And I don't use the noise canceling ones because I want to be able to hear what's going on around me. But I've figured out how to use it and how to download a podcast. The most current one, not just ours. There have been a couple others that I've been listening to, and so I'm I've notched up my technical. Here it comes again, Joe. Cividity.
So yeah, I don't know if anybody knows what that means. Yeah.
All right.
No, I hear you. Yeah, for sure. My main things I think is that some people are just never going to listen because they just don't. It's past them technologically wise, and they just don't have the time.
Yeah.
But the other people, I think the people that listen, I think they like it. So.
Yeah, that's good. Good.
We have some.
So what else is going on?
We have some shout outs for some good civic people we would like to recognize. The 1 Hour at a Time gang led by Donna Arizoni. You know about these, you know, the discs, the sewage discs that are popping up on the beaches?
The discs?
You're not aware of this story. Hooks at New Hampshire, they somehow or other, these discs that are supposed to be released, and what happens is bacteria clings to them and they eat sewage.
Yeah.
And somehow or other, they got all the way from Hooksett, New Hampshire.
In the paper. Yes.
Right.
Yep.
They're showing up on our beaches. And Donna Arizoni, she sends in a lot of stories for the blog. She took some pictures of it on a Magnolia Beach.
Yep.
But she does this thing where she organizes all these people, and they meet every Saturday morning. It's called the 1 Hour at a Time gang. And they just give like an hour or two every Saturday morning, 9 o'clock in the morning they meet, and they go and they'll pick up a different section of the city.
Really? Where do they?
Yeah.
I would do that. I'm a litter freak.
Mm.
Where do they meet? How do I find out about that? Because I would love to join them on that.
Well, I generally post it on the blog, but most of the time they meet.
Oh, you have a blog?
Sorry. Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock at St. Peter's Park, they meet most often. I'll tell you who showed up this past week because I want to give them some recognition.
Yep.
It was Donna, Bob Gillis from the bank, Collard, who Ed Collard does everything. Jan Bordenaro, Vicky Van Ness, Melissa and William Cox, Brad Pierce, Bob Hastings, who's from the Chamber, and Kathy Middleton. They went up and down.
Kathy Middleton. Go ahead.
Well, Kathy Middleton was she was like the trash. She was the recycling coordinator for the city. Do you know her?
Yeah. Yeah. I do. I've met her a couple times. Patty knows her better than I do, but she did. She used to do something once a year downtown along Rogers Street that we participated in. We've got one of those big, we've got all the yard gear, you know, the big gas-powered leaf blower. And we did some picking up a couple of years with her downtown, sweeping up and all along Rogers Street. So I'm not surprised she's involved too, very civic-minded. That's great. That's really good. That's really good. And an hour at a time. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you chip away at it. You chip away at it. It doesn't. You don't have to dedicate your life to it. You just, you know, just give an hour at a time. That's a great name for the group.
Yeah, it's not too much of a commitment. You feel good. You know, these people, they do that, and you get a great feeling afterwards.
Yeah.
Too, so.
Yeah.
So she wrote, this is where they went. Yesterday they went up and down Main Street and Rogers Street. Some went to the beach behind the Chamber of Commerce. They picked up 10 bags of trash. She said the cigarette butts are a terrible problem, and the littering of the butts. She said she'd like to see people get fined, more with the cigarettes. So.
I would love to see people get fined driving down the street flipping cigarettes out of their car. I mean, they put ashtrays in cars. Use the freaking ashtray because those filters. True. I mean, they don't break down. They last forever. They're fiberglass, and they're, if you're going to smoke, put it out in an ashtray. For a while, I was one of those indignant, I think I still am, ex-smokers. I haven't smoked for, I don't know, 18 years, and I was guilty of it too. I used to flip them out but the last couple of years I was smoking, somebody said to me, you know, if you piled up all the cigarettes you've ever flipped out of the car, you'd probably have a pile the size of your car that you've contributed to the environment. And I stopped. I was using an ashtray all the time before I quit smoking. But that drives me crazy. I have actually stopped in traffic at a light. You know, you're sitting at a light and somebody drops a cigarette out. I put the car in park. I've gotten out of the car. I've picked up the cigarette, the burning cigarette, and handed it to them and said, geez, I'm sorry, you just dropped this. Maybe you could put it in your ashtray and then turn around. I've done that several times. I probably shouldn't do that, but I have. So,
I had an incident in front of a local retailer where they took their morning break or whatever breaks they had, right, and they went to the building next to them that was vacant, and they would smoke and just flick the cigarettes on the ground. I'd watched it one too many times, and it just drove me crazy. The reason it drove me crazy this particular time was because we had just gone up and down the street as part of the block party committee. It was the morning after, and so we went up and down the street. So we wanted to make sure that the street was left in a better condition than before, so that there would be no issues for getting permits for the next block party. So
right,
we walked up and down, and like in this particular spot, we knew that this wasn't cigarette butts from people that were at the block party, but we cleaned it up anyway.
Yep.
So I was, and it was just like, you know, the curb, and then it was like the whole curb was like piled with these cigarettes from these same people, and I saw it like saw them flick it the next day, and I picked it up, went inside, put it on the counter in front of the woman, and said, "I think you must have lost this." And she threatened to call the cops on me, and I was so upset.
Wow.
I was like, you know.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I live down by the high school, and I walk my dogs up along the river and through the high school parking lot, and then back down Centennial and onto Perkins Road. 2-3 times a week, I take that route, and I can't believe the trash that collects up against the fence of the high school parking lot and the fence on Centennial. And it's all the kids driving by or walking up the street going to school and throwing Slim Jim wrappers and Dunkin' Donuts cups and cigarette packs, and I see the occasional nip, vodka nip. I feel sorry for that kid, but the whole thing just freaks me out. When I was a kid, I don't know. Do you remember throwing stuff on the ground when you were a kid? I didn't do that.
You know, if we're gonna be honest, you know, I did probably more than
I really
than
don't
I'd
remember
like
doing
to.
It, Joey.
Yeah, I did. You know, I mean, here I was not as civic minded as I am now. Back when I was a kid. No, true. There's if we're gonna be honest, I mean, I could lie and say I'm a perfect person. No, I definitely did, but I mean, I would never.
What are you saying?
Never,
I'm saying I'm a perfect person.
No. I'm just saying I just want to put it out there that I'm.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna be honest here. So.
Yeah. I'm glad you're honest. I'm a little sensitive today, by the way. I don't know if you've noticed.
Oh, really?
You're
Why?
Sick, and I'm sensitive.
Why?
Just because I am. I'm a sensitive guy, and today is one of my sensitive days.
It might be the supermoon. The supermoon might have some effect on you. You know what the supermoon is?
The supermoon? It's a full moon, and is it a full tide, too? A high tide? No, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what it is, but that's all they've been talking about for the last day. Last night we had a supermoon, and it was like a super big moon or super – I think it was closest to the Earth that it's going to be in a long while or something like that. So it was super big.
You're just so informed. I'm impressed. You're informed. You read a lot. You just read a lot. I've been in a cave for a couple of days. I've been in a cave most of my life, but I was hiking. I was up in Maine the last couple of days. So.
Yeah. Maine, huh?
Yep. Up with my
buddy. It's so funny. The differences between me and you are just really, I mean, we get along pretty good, but I have no desire to go out into the wilderness, the cold, like skiing, not my thing, hiking, not my thing. Because I think it's because I'm out on the docks and exposed to the elements all the time.
Yeah.
So if I have time to myself, it's like the last thing I want to do is go and freeze my ass off and go hiking or whatever.
I was up with my buddy Bill. Yeah. Hi, Bill. He listens to us all the time, by the way. And it's funny you mention that because he and I were talking about the podcasts. And he was saying, when's the next one? When's the next one? Now, and we were talking about the fact he was saying how different you and I are listening to us because he's never met you. But he knows me well. And we were laughing about that, the differences. And it, you know, it's one of the reasons we click. But that's I love going to Maine. I love going out in the woods. And just to give you an idea, we set out on a – we were going to do a quick up a 2,000-foot mountain and down. You know, it should have taken us 2 hours. And we were just going to go up and down. It was a gorgeous day. And we got halfway to – on this trail. We had been on this trail before, and we realized that there was a new loop that had just been cut. And, we're all geared up. We got our snowshoes on and our crampons and the whole bit because there's still 2-3 feet of snow up there. And but it's like 50 degrees out, Joey. It was unbelievable. So we said, let's try the new loop. So what started out to be a 2-hour jaunt ended up being over 5 hours because, you know, it was a loop.
So you said 50 degrees is beautiful, right?
It was gorgeous. I mean, we were sweating. We were in short sleeves. So
what's going through my mind is 50 degrees is not fucking gorgeous. 50 degrees is cold. Well, 75 is warm and nice. That's a good gorgeous.
Okay. 85 is my favorite temperature. That really is my favorite. But in the wintertime, you know, 50 is great. So I was
gorgeous. Huh?
Anyways. Enough about that. You've been up to the snow farm lately?
I need an update. I've been waiting because I know you are okay. The snow farm guy.
Yep. The snow farm is a filthy mess now. It's down to nothing. So the piles, I was up there 3 days ago before I went to Maine or 4 days ago, and I took a couple of pictures. But it's almost flat. There's not much. There might be 4 or 5 feet of snow left up there. But it looks like a glacier, man. Have you ever seen a glacier?
No, on a picture. I've seen pictures of the glacier, but I've never been on vacation, Kenny. I'm not going to Alaska. Going someplace warm, St. Lucia, Florida.
Sorry, Joe.
There's people that love this. There's people that love to go on cruises and they go see the glacier. They think it's the greatest thing in the world. To me, it's beyond anything that I can.
Yeah.
Tell me about the glacier, Kenny.
Can I tell you about the glacier? I've seen a couple of them. I've been on a couple of them, and they are amazing. They're enormous, filthy, icy, rocky, sandy. They're like the biggest thing you can imagine. It's like a frozen river that's just enormous. I've been in Nepal. I've been on glaciers there, and I've been on one out in Washington, state of Washington, here at Mount Rainier, and that's what it looked like in the parking lot at Stage Ford Park. It looks like a glacier because glaciers move, and you can hear a glacier moving if you're really quiet. You can actually hear it creaking and the rocks, you know, a little rock will roll over, and that's the darn thing moving. And the parking lot up at Stage Ford Park looks like a glacier because it's picked up all kinds of stuff. It's not moving. It's just melting. But all the stuff they picked up is like all the debris that gets picked up in a glacier. So it.
Now you're saying it still looks like a glacier, or it looked like a glacier?
It looks like a glacier now. Before, a month ago when it was still clean, or 6 weeks ago when it was clean, it didn't look much like a glacier because it was too clean.
Oh, it's just a big pile of stone you made before.
Now all the debris is all like together, and it's icy and hard, and it really looks like a glacier now. So, but that's the snow farm update. Hopefully, there you have it.
What was the date that we predicted that it was going to be gone down to zero? Was it like sometime in May? Like we couldn't comprehend because there was so much snow. We said that's going to be there for a while.
I didn't write it down. What I did do though, I had a bet with. There's this group of elementary school kids that stand at the bus stop by the high school every morning, and I walk my dogs up there 2 or 3 days a week, and they always pet the dogs, and we razz each other back and forth. And there was a 6 or 7 foot pile of snow right there at the you know where the ticket booth is for the football games.
Yeah,
right there,
yep.
right there. There was a big huge pile of snow, and last. 2 weeks ago, I was saying to them, they were climbing on it, and we made a bet as to when it was going to be gone. And I took May 1st, and it's just about gone now. I was way off. I thought it would be around for another month.
Well, no one realized that. Like, through February, it was just week after week of huge storm. And then March came, and you still expected some snow, and we got, like, nothing, right, in March?
Yep. Correct. Correct. Yeah. We didn't. Thank you, God. It's all right.
Right.
All right. But there's still snow in Maine, Joey. If you want to see some snow, go to Maine.
No, thank you.
Go to Maine.
Well, I'm going south. South. Warm. Yeah. We got the dolphins and the porpoises, all kinds of mammals, marine mammals sightings in the harbor this week.
Yeah?
Yeah, you weren't around for that either, probably. But,
no.
But there was a bunch of people, like Bill O'Connor, he sent in a picture one day, and then the very next day, I looked out the front of the dock, and it was surfacing, so I thankfully had my camera on me, so I got some video of it. But that was a harbor porpoise. And those are kind of common. People, like, you know, if they're not on the waterfront, they probably haven't seen one before. But, you know, you'll see them this time of year. But But I guess what was really uncommon, we had a uncommon dolphin.
Really?
We had a common dolphin that was in the harbor, and they're very distinctive. The fins on the backs are very different shaped. Like the one on the common dolphin is like a hook, and the one on the harbor porpoise is more like a triangle on the back.
Okay. The question that begs to be asked, what was Flipper, a dolphin or a porpoise?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. A lot of people, I think that they think they're one and the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Flipper.
Yeah.
All right. Flipper. Yeah. I'm Googling it right now while I'm sitting here.
Okay.
It's a punk band formed in San Francisco. Nope. Wrong. Wrong one.
Oh, please.
But go ahead. Yeah. Tell us some more.
No, but it was interesting.
Go ahead. Yep.
No, you tell me. Go ahead.
Flipper was a bottlenose dolphin in the companion animal of Porter Ricks. Remember him? You're not. Are you old enough? I don't think you're old enough. Are you?
I am old enough. I remember Flipper. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, no.
I remember the theme song.
Yeah, that was a famous theme song. There wasn't a young kid that was Flipper was saving everybody. Something. It was like always a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Flipper, you gotta go.
Sandy and Bud, the two young sons. I didn't remember their names. I'm looking at it here. 1964. That was. Wow, boy, have we really gone off track today, huh, Joe?
I know. Let's get back on. I'm going to pull you back on track.
I told you I'm sensitive. Be careful. Careful.
I know. Well, let's talk about your weekly real estate update.
Ooh.
You got anything for us this week?
Yeah, I do. This is not an easy one. I kind of set this up last week when we said, last podcast a couple of weeks ago, when we said the four worst mistakes you can make when you're selling, because I thought I'd get into each one of them a little deeper in the next 4 weeks. And this one today is, it's like the worst one. It's the one that overshadows all the others. And that's, thinking like an owner instead of a marketer when you're trying to sell your property. And a lot of people don't understand that sellers, you know, we call the players buyers and sellers in the transaction. There, you know, there's a buyer and there's a seller. And what we don't, a lot of us miss, is that sellers are owners, and they've been owners for a long time. And owners are inherently emotional. A lot of the emotions that they have are conflicting. People love to be owners. They have pride of ownership, but they get twisted up when they turn into sellers because they don't want to be owners anymore. All right. And, you know, owning is easy in many senses because you've already made the decision to buy it. You're not a buyer anymore. And we'll talk about the buyer in a minute, but you're an owner now. So everything you do while you own something has to do with keeping it up, getting used to it, making it yours. So there's a lot of time, effort, money, emotions, birthday parties, things that happened in the property that make it yours. And as you're going along, you get used to the flaws when you're an owner. Think of something that's wrong with your house right now, Joey. You don't have to tell us if you don't want to.
Well, I can tell you. The garage door opener is the sensors are off.
And you may have gotten used to that. You know, you get out of your car and you open it yourself or whatever. You've gotten used to it, and you'll fix it sooner or later. But it's something that you've gotten used to. And that happens a lot with people that own property. They get used to the flaw that's there. Owners also, when they turn into sellers, they get a little cocky sometimes because their property is on the market and they control the fact that it's on the market or it isn't on the market. But that's really all they control is whether or not it's for sale or not for sale. They don't control what someone's willing to pay for it. But because they have so much control, if it's not for sale, there's no market. There's nothing to buy or sell. So that with that comes a lot of power and the feeling of a lot of power. So it's just another one of those conflicted emotions. Sellers are also, they've reached the point where they're finished owning the house. They want to sell it. They're all done owning it. But to sell it, they have to tell you how much they loved living there and all the things about it that are great and wonderful. And in their own minds, they may be saying, if it's this nice, why are we selling it? And the buyer might be saying the same thing. So it's very, very conflicting to be an owner turned into a seller. Buyers, on the other hand, they don't really want to be buyers because buying is a lot of work. They have to dig out all the facts about the property. They have to look at statistics. They have to ask friends about it. They have to worry about other people think. They have to find the money, you know, research. And this is on every single property that they may be interested in. It's not just once. So buying's a lot of work. They don't want to be buyers. They want to be owners. They want to, you know, they would love it if they could skip the buying process. I mean, just remember the last time you went out and bought a car. Something we do more often than houses. It's horrible. Or when you went out and bought a cell phone, you know, or something that was gonna that you were gonna own for a couple of years, and you had to do research on, you know, am I gonna make the right decision? What's Joey gonna think when I show up with my new iPhone? You know, am I gonna be accepted? Am I gonna think about that? All the stuff we go through when we buy it. And then when we buy it, when we finally buy the phone or the house or the car, we're an owner, and then we have some pride in it. So it's difficult being – I think it's more work to be a buyer than it is to be a seller. But, again, the problem with we're talking about today is thinking like an owner instead of a marketer. So the owners/sellers have to really – try and divest themselves from the emotion that's involved in it. And they need to think about and think like a marketer. The American Marketing Association says that marketing is, quote, the processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers. And that's the way a seller needs to think. They need to know the market. They need to know what's selling, what isn't selling. They need to know who's in the buyer pool, who's buying. How are they making their decisions when they're buying? What tools are they using to get the information? What's the process, the time frame for starting? What's the incubation period? All of these things. Marketing is really a cross between statistics and emotions. What are the buyers afraid of? And buyers are afraid of everything. That garage door opener that you get used to, that garage problem, or the whatever, the window that sticks. We just lean on it a little bit harder. We get used to it as owners, but as buyers, they focus in on those faults because their biggest fear is that they're going to make the wrong decision. Right?
I read an article, I don't know if it was a week or two ago, and it was they were talking about how even first-time home buyers have become like unrealistically they want a perfect house, and they like they don't even want to consider houses. Like they have like unrealistic expectations is what this article was about, and how they were talking about how like these first-time homebuyers with under $200,000, and they won't even consider houses that don't have granite countertops, and the agents are like, "Are you kidding me?"
They're
going from house to house to house, and they're like, you know, they want everything to be just perfect.
Because
I guess they're in the driver's seat, I guess, right now.
Well, the unrealistic expectations become reality, unfortunately, because if the you've got to look at where they're coming from, and it's not right or wrong. It's just it is where it is. The buyers today are living at home longer because they get along with their parents. I couldn't wait to. I wanted to move out when I was 7. Hi, Dad. My father listens to this sometimes too. you know, I moved out when I was 18 or 19 and never went back. But the buyers, you know, kids today, they like their parents, which is wonderful. You know, I'm glad I didn't have that experience until later on in life. But they can stay there, so they're staying at home till they're 30, and you got to remember where they're living. They're living in their parents' house, and their parents have granite countertops or you know, more modern kitchens, and that's what they're used to. So when they go out and buy their first place, what was your first place like?
Did you have granite? My first apartment or my first
the first,
first
place
condo.
You owned? Yeah, your condo.
No, I didn't actually. No, my first my first condo that I owned was. No, I did not have granite the first one. Nope.
Yeah.
No, Formica.
Formica. Yeah, Formica. And we don't even talk about Formica anymore.
I know, right? I mean, and this was a nice place, and it had Formica. This was a very, very nice place, and it had Formica. That's amazing. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. And what the heck was wrong? What's wrong with Formica? It lasts forever.
It's wild, right? Isn't that amazing? Like you see places like countertops and these old diners that have served millions of people and they still have Formica. It's like well worn and everything, but it's like still holding up.
Right.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, sellers and buyers, you know, to sum up here, owners want to sell it, but they really want you to think that they want to keep it because it's so great. Buyers really don't want to own. They really don't want to buy it, but they want to own it. And the marketer just wants to get them both together and make it happen. Nobody gets what they want if the sale doesn't happen. So I just think it's really important to remember that as a seller, put yourself in the buyer's shoes. Try and step out of your emotions and put yourself in the buyer's shoes. Know the statistics. Position yourself so that you are addressing the fears of the buyer. Don't be afraid of them. Know the buyer's fears. Bring it up and either fix what they're afraid of and again, we'll talk about this when we get to the preparation part, but either fix it or tell the buyer how much it's going to cost to fix it so you get rid of that fear in their mind. And you know, try and make it as easy as possible for the buyer to pull the trigger. The seller pulls the trigger when they decide to put the house on the market. They're all done. They get it ready. They put it on the market. They're all done. Now all they have to do is wait for a buyer to show up. But the buyer's got to pull – the buyers, every time they look at a property, they're thinking, is this the one where I pull the trigger? And as a seller, if you're thinking like a marketer, you're going to make it as easy as possible for the buyer to say, yes, yes, I want it. I want to own it. So the end of thinking like an owner instead of a marketer.
I'm just going to sum it up a little bit. From my perception. This is something that you learn early on when you're dealing with like a lot of negotiation. What is something worth? It's worth what you can get someone else to pay for it.
correct.
If someone, if you can't, you might think something is worth, a house is worth $300,000, but if no one's worth willing to pay that, it might even say that in the, you know, the, in the assessment or whatever. But if you can't get anyone to pay that, and the highest after a long time that someone was willing to pay is $275,000, then guess what? It's worth $275,000.
That's correct.
Right?
Correct.
There you go.
Correct.
Yeah. Hey, I was online and I was looking at my Twitter feed,
yeah,
and what pops up but Kenny McCarthy's pizza map. What's going on here? Pizza.
Yeah. I don't know. I like pizza. And I eat a lot of pizza. We've talked about pizza before, Joe, and I know that if you Google pizza in Gloucester, it'll bring up pizza places. But I wanted my own personal map, my own personal map that I could just click on anytime I wanted. So Patty and I went out and we looked up all the pizza places we could think of in Gloucester, and we put them on a map. So it's on the Cut Bridge, the link to it. I think I put it on my website too, and it's out there. It's funny too. As soon as I put the map up, I was blown away by the number of people that clicked on it as soon as I put it up there. I mean, it's only been up there for a couple of days, and already a couple hundred people have clicked on it to look at it.
TheCutBridge.com.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, those Google Maps are really fun. They're really fun to mess around with. You could create any kind of map that you'd like to make with those.
Yep.
With those.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a Wi-Fi one, and I have a Eats one. It's called the Gloucester Eats map, and I have as many different restaurants. And then you can add in different layers. Like I put pictures of the food that I've taken at each one of these different restaurants. So if you get
yeah.
So what you ought to do is, I don't know if you did this, but if like whenever you eat pizza at one of these places, you got to take a picture and upload it to that. So when a person clicks on each place, they can.
It's a good idea.
See what that pizza looks like. You know?
It's a good idea. I find myself often taking pictures of my food. Do you do that? You do that. Yeah, you do that a lot. People stare at you when you do that. What are you doing? What's he doing?
Yeah, you know, I read that people like think that that's freaky, but like it comes naturally to me. I don't know. Listeners, my readers love it. And
They do. We all have little quirks like that. You know what Patty does? Patty picks up. I'm not gonna hear the end of this. She picks up plates and pottery on the table and turns it upside down to see where it was made. Or who made
really? She's a China fetish.
She's a potter. She likes making pottery and I like looking at the stuff. But yeah, more. I can't tell you the number of times we go in and sit down in a restaurant. This is when we used to eat out, anyways. And she still does it. And she'll pick up the sugar bowl and look underneath and see if it was made handmade or so.
Have you ever been to Marty Morgan's place where she does her bowls and stuff?
I have, as a matter of fact. In fact, I think I did a video of it a couple of years ago. Yeah.
Yep.
And she's got a great spot too, right there on the river.
Mm. That's right, a good spot. And then another place that Patty, you got to tell Patty to go check out, Alexandra's Bread Company. They have a lot of cool pottery stuff in there.
Yep, we have. We've been in there, done that. She's got those oil cloth tablecloths in there too, those old.
She has.
You have one of those.
She's got an unbelievable a selection of funky, like locally themed goods.
Yep.
That you can't find anywhere else. And I swear, like I know it's a bakery and stuff, but her, decor stuff is, it's a visual feast. You walk in there, it's
nice. Yeah.
She's got a good eye. And you know what? The prices in there are, you can get like these really cool one of a kind pieces for gifts or for your own home.
Yep.
Very little money.
Yep.
She prices things. She's not ridiculous. You know, she's not, you know, so.
Yeah. And you know what's next door? Leonardo's.
Now, are they closed? Did they close?
Leonardo's?
Yeah.
No.
Are they open? No, okay. That was a rumor. Okay.
I don't know. No, you're thinking of the other end of town. The other end of town, on the right-hand side. Oh. across from.
We better be sure because we don't want to call. Yeah. We don't want to tell say any place was closed that they're not closed.
Right, right. Leonardo's is fine. No, the other end of town they closed. Oh God, I'm blanking on it.
Not by me.
No. At the other end of Main Street.
Okay.
In the west end. On the right hand side.
The House of Mitch.
Nope. On the other side of the street.
Oh, Valentino's. There you
Valentino's.
Go.
That's Valentino's. What you were thinking of. Valentino's
right.
Closed.
Yeah.
Valentino's. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yep.
Yeah.
So
I didn't.
Anyways.
That was good. Hey, did you use my pizza poll as a reference guide for your pizza map? As a matter of fact. Because I had them all
no.
listed there.
No, Joe, I didn't. Sorry. Sorry, but it would have been great if I could have said yes.
Yeah, it would have made things easy, I think.
Would have made your day. Huh? Yeah, no. Sorry, bro.
This week all right. was the St. Joseph's novena. Do you
yeah.
know anything about the St. Joseph's novena? Have you been to one?
Just a little bit. I haven't been to one, but I've read about it and heard about it. Very, very emotional. People are dedicated.
Yeah, you know, my grandmother's sister, Aunt Fifi, she did an altar at her house, and I had, you know, we used to go when I was young, probably up until when I was like 12 years old, I probably went to every year to her novena, and I hadn't been for, I guess, 20, 30 years, and I got, you know, Safatia, she's a city councilor, she's Italian woman.
I've met her.
And she's a nice woman. She organized this, basically, I call it a novena crawl. And there's 11. Well, it was, I don't know
I'm
how
sorry,
to.
I'm sorry, man. It's funny.
Yeah, it's like a bar crawl, but it's a bar crawl.
Yeah, but
food.
It's a novena. It's a novena.
Novena crawl, right. So she organized like this caravan of all. She told people to meet her at the parking lot where the Fitchy Lane house is. And we'd go house to house to house, 11 different houses, and see their altars and pay respects.
That's
beautiful. You know, I went on it, and I got to take my my wife was nice enough to let me take my two daughters down, and I went with my sister and her two kids, and we went from house to house, and you know, it was so amazing, because these women, you know, a lot of these women, they're older women, and, you know, they're towards the end of their lives, and they've been doing it for, you know, 30, 40, one lady, 47 years. And, you know, this tradition, and then they tell the story, and it's like their Super Bowl. You know what I mean? And all these people funnel into their house, and I did some videos. And they're like, come in, you know, like, what's mine is yours, like, eat, I want you to eat. And the altars are, you know, they're so beautiful because they're all like candles with these statues, and the lights are kind of down. So these, I mean, I don't even know, maybe the videos somewhat tell the story, but if you're there, it's like these older homes in the middle of the city. It's just, and the people and the tradition, honest to God, it was... you know, I want to shout out to the families that are still doing it. I'm going to read off the names. I went to the first five because my girls had to get to bed. My sister one of my contributors, Manny Simos, they went to all 11. So I'm going to read off the names in the order that we went. It was the Fontana family, the Scholas, the Russos, the Ferrantes, and Margaret's mom, Yolando's, the Brancleones, Canavo, Bancarota, Chalinos, Marinos, and Gropo.
Wow.
It was they pray.
That's
they
nice.
Do the rosary. They do the rosary for 9 days, and they have a tradition. Like you leave with a bag, and in the bag there's three things.
Yep.
There's a piece of bread, which symbolizes if you come to my house, you're always welcome to. You know, I'm gonna feed you.
Yep.
There's an orange. And the orange represents the sweetness of life, all the good thing of life.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lemon. and the lemon represents the bitterness of the, like, you know, these people came from poorness, and, you know, and,
sure,
and
sure.
Don't forget the bitterness in life to, so that you can appreciate the goodness in life, you know.
Yep.
So by the time you got, you know, we went through five houses by the time I left, and we had a stack of, everybody took a bag. We had like 15 bags of bread and oranges and everything else. It was crazy.
That's so cool that you took your daughters too.
Oh, man. And, you know, yeah. It's – see, Safati can be really important. You know, you met Safati?
She's
a beautiful woman, but she's very loud. And you know, she was like – Madeline's 3 years old and Eloise is 5 years old. And Eloise is afraid of her own shadow. And you got Safati right down in her grill, like screaming. And
I'm
looking at from across the room. I'm looking at this. But they embraced her, you know what I mean? And they didn't freak out. I thought they might cry and get nervous the whole time. And then towards the end, they started learning the Italian songs and they were singing. It was just so beautiful. I was so happy. And I really want to thank those families that took us in because, you know, they would – just such a there's a lot of work, but I know it's a labor of love kind of thing, but it was, I really can't thank them enough.
I'm a big fan of faith and tradition, and I love that people that believe in it and practice it, and you know, you got an altar in your house, you're a participant, and that's just really nice. It's really nice. Mm.
Yeah. Good. Let's talk about gardening because we got that season coming up.
You want to talk about gardening? Do you garden?
Do I garden?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. My wife does some flowers outside. She does that.
Yeah.
So flower gardens. We don't do any vegetables.
Okay.
We don't do anything
okay.
like that. How about
we
you?
We do vegetables. Huh. What a surprise. What a surprise. Yeah, I know. This is my topic. I'm giving you a hard time. I wanted to talk about this a little bit today. The dirt's changing. You can smell it out there, and I can see it finally. So I have garlic coming up. I've never grown garlic before. You eat garlic, right?
Yeah, love garlic.
I love garlic. I like garlic on my cereal.
What? Get out of here!
Yeah, I'm kidding. I've never had homegrown garlic until last summer. And as a matter of fact, my buddy Billy, who I was with in Maine the last couple of days, has an unbelievable garden out in his yard. And he gave me some of his garlic to plant in my, he says, yeah, you got to have this. You got to plant this. It's so easy to plant, put it in the ground last fall and it'll be coming up by the time the snow melts, and I'll be darned, but the snow's gone and I've got like 10 or 12 garlic shoots coming out of the ground. Well, I got to tell you, I didn't want to plant this garlic. It was so delicious. I use a lot of garlic, and I couldn't get over how different it was. But yeah, we had the tomato map out, and the tomato map. Yep. The legend, as they call it on a map from last year. I like to keep track of what I put in the ground and where I put it and how many plants we had. And that way you can fertilize it right. And, you know, all we end up doing is
this stuff was planted before. You don't plant it for this season. You planted it last season for this season, you mean?
I planted the garlic last year, and that's coming up now. Yeah, I planted it last fall. But the tomatoes, those don't go in the ground. You can't even buy the tomatoes. We get our tomato plants from Goose Cove Gardens.
I saw you did a piece on them, didn't you?
Yeah. Patty was over there last week and with Barbara taking a tour and got some movies. And that was Patty's first outing with the movie camera, by the way. She did a great job. She's gonna do some more editing, I think, and put some more of that movie up there. But Barbara, it's a big deal for tomato growers to get your plants from Goose Cove. She has what's called Tomato Release Day. She starts them from seed. And she won't let people near them. You can't buy them until it's right around Memorial Day every year. But those of us that get our plants there, we kind of line up down Guy Ave, you know, waiting to get in the driveway. Are you excited about this, Joe? This is almost as good as something going on at the farm. It's almost as good as that.
No, actually, I think there's a lot of people that love this place. She has a blog too, doesn't she?
I don't know. She might.
I think I think they have a website or something.
I've always liked, you know, the dirt and stuff, but it's just been the last couple of years that I've really felt like the garden was mined too. Patty's the gardener in the house, and I'm the lumper. You know,
Do you ever roast garlic? Do you just cut the top off and you put the olive oil on top and you put it in there and you let it roast and it gets like the garlic turns from sweet, like really sweet, and then you just spread it on the bread?
Wow. No.
Oh, you gotta do that.
I gotta try that.
There was that restaurant. I don't know if it was Vinny Testa's. One of those restaurants up by the mall. They used to serve it to you. There was a big load, a head of garlic. They cut the top off. They put it in the oven and roast it.
Nice.
Oh my God! Like you don't want to.
No, I never tried it. Sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds good. I roast it with tomatoes. I'll do roasted tomatoes. That takes. I've got a recipe for my next door neighbor. To roast tomatoes and garlic, it takes like 8 hours to do that. It's unbelievable. That's Jane's recipe. That's on my blog too. But
does the garlic that you plant taste any different than the garlic that you get at the store?
Oh yeah. That's the whole point. It's more fragrant and more flavorful. And it's a little sweeter. I love it. Delicious. I didn't want to put it in the ground. I wanted to eat it. So this year I got my own. But what else was I going to say about that? Oh yeah, last fall too. To get ready, I went to Ipswich. There's a place. It actually might be Rowley on Route 1A. There's a farm over there that you can pull a pickup truck in and they'll give you a bucket full of hot or not so hot manure. Do you know the difference between hot and not hot manure?
I didn't know this.
Hot is like it just, well, you know what manure is.
Yeah, it's got the poop in it, right?
It's the poop. It is the poop.
Let me guess.
It's the poop.
The hot one is the one that's got the steam coming out of it from the poop, like having a chemical reaction and breaking
down. Bingo.
And stuff.
Yeah. When it's hot, it's still steaming. That's where it came from.
So you're using the hot. Wait a second.
We don't get the hot.
Don't give me no vegetables. I don't want, you know, don't bring me a basket of vegetables from the garden if you're using it. Okay?
Yeah, we don't get the hot. Yeah, we don't get the hot. So, yeah. Okay. Well, so you're off the list.
I'm off. If you're using the poop stuff, I don't want the steamy poop.
Well, what do you think people use? What do you think organic oil is?
I'd rather not know about it. I don't want to know about it. I'd not know that my carrots are grown in poop.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
I don't mind, like, you know how you have that, you put the garbage out and you recycle it in the, what do you call that? You put a bin out back and you put your
compost.
Composting. I don't mind that, but I draw the line at the poop.
Yeah. We have a compost pile now too. We started that this winter. I can't wait till the city starts cutting the grass out behind the house, see if they notice it. But anyways. Gardening's coming. Can't wait. Can't wait.
So Goose Cove, that's your spot though. You recommend
that's where
you
like to go. Yeah, we go to Goose Cove. We go to Barbara and Hillary and we get our gear from them. So highly recommend them. They know what they're doing too. You can ask them all kinds of. I mean, they really know, and they're they do it the old-fashioned way without the chemicals, and they use the poop.
They use the poop. All right. Yeah. Well, you know how that means for me. Okay. All right. Well, let's get on to our tech talk segment.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to talk about the iPad and the iPad 2.
Did you?
I know. Both of us are. We both have iPads. You have an iPad, right?
Yeah.
First generation iPad. Have you got to play with the second generation yet?
No, I haven't even read about it. Really? Another surprise for you. Yeah. No. Because I'm still getting used to the first one.
You know what's funny to me is that you pride yourself on being the Apple guy, and I swear to God, I know more about Apple products than you do.
My sensitive alert just went off again.
It's crazy. Like I researched that stuff. It's crazy. I don't know about you, but I love my iPad, the first generation one. You feel the same way?
No. Nope.
You don't use it that much?
I do and I don't. I mean, see, I love my MacBook Pro, my laptop. I use that thing all the time. I can flip it open wherever I am and I just used it, and I know it really well. This is my second one. And I mean, I've had Mac laptops forever. And when the iPad came out, I couldn't figure out what do I need? I mean, it's like a cross between a phone and a laptop, but it doesn't have a phone in it, and it doesn't have a camera. And, you know, it was like one of those angsty things. They're saying I've got to have one, and I really want one because it's new and it's a Mac, and what the hell am I going to do with it? And I finally got one, and because especially people in my business were saying, oh, it's great for presentations and this, that, and the other thing. And so I got one, and I don't know. I was just a little underwhelmed with it because I couldn't quite figure out how to work it into my regimen, into my daily workflow. And I'm getting closer to that now. I'm using it for presentations, and I got to tell you, the wow factor when I pull it out. Ba-doom. When I use it at a presentation, people's mouths hang open. They haven't seen one before, and they just
was that supposed to be a joke?
Yeah.
The wow factor when I pull it out. Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember that? Do you remember that on? I'll never forget that. Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles. Remember that movie? Let me whip this out. All right, that's enough. Never mind. And he was making a speech. He was making a speech.
Terrible.
So anyways, yeah. So what's with the two? Does the two have a camera in it?
It does. Let me tell you what the difference is, and let me tell you who I think. Well, I did a whole breakdown on who I think which each one is for, because I love my number one.
Yeah.
And I think if you didn't have an iPad. See, I think that I use my iPad all the time. Like when I'm home, right? I'm not. This is kind of for me because once I'm home, I stop creating content for the blog and stuff like that.
And you're doing that on a PC.
I do that on a PC. But like when I'm home, I may be on the internet, but like when I'm creating content, I have to concentrate, like, you know, like updating posts and stuff like that. So I can't casually. It's not something casual. But when I'm home, when I'm traveling, the iPad, I just, you know, to consume content, like if you're just watching videos or reading content and stuff like that, it is such a great little device. It's so light. It's so convenient to carry around rather than a laptop that I really, in the form factor, I love it. Now, what they changed like a couple things on the updated iPad 2. One of them, they put a faster processor in.
Yeah.
Number two, they put in a front and back cameras. And number three, they made it significantly lighter. Now they said I forget the stats, but it's thinner than an iPhone, and it is about, I think they said, 33% lighter. Now, 33% lighter on something that's pound and a half or something.
Yeah.
Right. I didn't think it was going to be noticeable, but it is. That being said, I never noticed, like, as far as processors go, I never noticed any kind of lag with the first generation.
I have. And
you have?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and, compared to my laptop, it's much slower.
Well, compared to your laptop, right, but yeah, all right, that's fair. But then the camera, I took some pictures with the camera, and it is very awkward. Don't buy this thing for the camera because it is so awkward to take pictures with it, and the quality is terrible. So most people that are going to buy this are already going to have a smartphone that probably will take much better pictures than this thing.
Right, right.
So you can I think Apple was selling these things for $350 refurbished, and that gets you a 1 year warranty through Apple. And their refurbished products are, you can't tell that they're
I know that too.
I think that, that's a good way to go. So I am a huge fan of both of them. This is my suggestion. If you don't own either one, and you have plenty of money, I would go out and buy the two. Yeah. If you are of limited means, you own the one, don't feel compelled to go get the two.
Oh, thank you, God. I don't have to.
Don't. And if you're of limited means, but you really want one or the other, don't stretch it. Go get yourself a refurbished one, because the two, to me, doesn't do a whole lot more than what the one does. And it's not that – it's noticeably lighter, but the first one is still a magnificent piece of equipment.
Yeah. Yeah,
and this is coming from I'm a PC. I am not a MacBook fan. I am a PC fan. So that's coming from
I know you are. I know you're torn too. You're like us. You're torn. I know you're torn. You must lie awake at night thinking about that PC Mac.
Because I bought one, so I saw what I was missing out with, and it wasn't that to me.
Yeah.
I could. But you know what? To be fair, that was the MacBook Pro, the last generation. So they put new processors and updated processors, and they get that Sandy Bridge technology. So the new ones might have changed my mind. But
you are a nerd. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I read on mine, my iPad. I read books on mine. I'm torn too. I don't surf on it, and it's got all these great tools where you can, like you say, you can watch the videos, and you can get the RSS feeds, and there's all these, you can create your own magazine on there. I don't do any of that. I am reading Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan, and I just read some Dickens. I read David Copperfield, and I can't think of the other one that I read.
Now, how did you get these onto the device?
I got them through the Apple Store for free.
Oh, you bought them through the Apple Store for free?
Yeah, I've never read them before, and I've always wanted to read some of these books, and so I'm loving the fact that I can get this stuff anytime I want it right through the Apple Store, and it's free.
First generation books are generally not free though, right? Like, I mean, not first generation.
No. They're like $8 or $10. Yeah. You mean books everybody else is reading? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You can read anything that's 150 years old, pretty much, is for free.
Well, my wife has a Nook. She has the Barnes and Noble Nook. She's the Nook. And she's been getting books from the local library, and she gets in line. Usually they only have one or two copies of each book in their databases, and they can only loan one out at a time. They have all these rules, you can get it for 2 weeks. For free, and then once it comes to your turn, unless the book isn't already taken out digitally.
Sure.
And she loves it. And what she found out this week, which she's really excited about, is that you don't have you can really register for any library that you want. Boston Public Library, you can register.
Really?
You can get a digital media library card from them.
Huh.
She said it was as easy as checking off a box in the application.
Wow.
And you can download free books, first run books from them.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah, she's on the list.
Good.
There you go.
Very good. Hey, we're over an hour.
I know. I think we should probably wrap it up now. We got over an hour.
We got a lot of ground.
Oh, we did. This is number six. happy. I'm happy we got to
do
it.
Hope you feel better.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Drink a lot of water.
Of course. All right, this is Gloucester Cast number 6 in the books. Peace out from Joey Shimataro and my great host.
Thanks, Joey. Kenny McCarthy signing off. Have a great week, everybody.